Dredd and Rogelski in the studio. Let's do today's Mendocino Coast Health Report. We welcome in again Dr. William Miller from Adventist Health Mendocino Coast. Good morning, Dr. Miller.
Good morning.
Interesting stuff today. You're going to talk about these COVID pills that are in development.
Yes. So as people may have heard, there are two that are right now being looked at for emergency use authorization by the FDA. And the first one is probably going to get the emergency use authorization approval in the next 3 weeks or so. And that one is by Merck, the pharmaceutical company Merck. And here's an interesting sort of a thing that gave me a chuckle. They've named it, and all of these are, of course, very difficult to pronounce, but Molnupiravir. There we go, Molnupiravir.
Mm.
And it is after a Norse or Swedish word, Molinier, which is the hammer of Thor.
Oh, okay.
So I think that's a little bit presumptuous.
It's a bit of a marvel. It's a Marvel Comics reference. You know what people are just going to call it? The COVID pill.
Probably. Yeah, or Thor's hammer.
Yeah, Thor's hammer.
So both this pill and the one by Pfizer, which is equally difficult to pronounce, both of them are antiviral medications, meaning that what they do is they turn off viral replication. And this is not the first time we've had antiviral medications. In fact, we use them quite frequently for years with respect to influenza. We have several different influenza antiviral pills. And of course, with HIV disease, there's a huge host of different antiretrovirals. These are not like the HIV medications. They're more like the influenza antiviral medication. And they're tolerated pretty well, minimal side effects. And the studies are showing significant efficacy, effectiveness, in terms of reducing hospitalization and, of course, therefore death. Because if you're not getting sick enough to be hospitalized, you're not going on to die either. So very effective, at least cutting the numbers of hospitalizations down by half, and perhaps reducing the death rate as much as 80 or 85%. And those studies were all in unvaccinated people, which that's very encouraging. So that means that the people who are most likely to have serious outcomes at this point, which are the unvaccinated folks, are going to have this as a way of dealing with illness if they get infected. Just like with the influenza treatments, they have to be started right away. So if we think about how viruses incubate, they incubate meaning that they're starting to replicate in our body for usually around 2 or 3 days before we even start getting symptomatic. Most people with these viral respiratory illnesses, flu, cold, COVID, have had viral replication going on for about 4 days or so by the time they start getting symptomatic. And so if you're really going to have any effectiveness in terms of stopping viral replication before it gets too much, then you need to start this medicine right away. So really within the first 2 or 3 days of onset of symptoms. And so what that's going to mean is that people, if they're really interested in having this, are going to need to get tested as soon as they start feeling onset of symptoms. That may be a challenge. It may lead to more people coming to the ER with the sniffles, wondering if they have COVID or not. Some of them will, and then they might be offered this treatment. This treatment also, by the way, compares with the monoclonal antibody infusion, which we've been doing now for a couple of months. We're doing here at the hospital about 4 to 6 a week, and that's a different treatment, but also one that has to be started right away, as soon as within the first 5 days, preferably 10 days max, but within the first 5 days. And that is an infusion of antibodies against the virus, so that boosts your immune response. That's a different modality.
So, Doctor, I want to make sure I understand this. as soon as people have symptoms, they get it confirmed they're positive, and then they would, quote unquote, take the pill. But they got to jump on it as soon as the symptoms start.
Right. So what I'm seeing is that a lot of people are waiting till they've had symptoms for maybe 5 days to a week before they actually seek medical care. And I think that's largely because they're hoping that they don't have COVID. They don't want to go through the pain of being quarantined or isolated. And so they're hoping, well, maybe it's just a little allergy or something. And then when they just get sicker and sicker, then they finally come to the ER and get diagnosed. So unfortunately, for this to be most effective, people will have to come in early. And once again, I shudder to think how that might influence volumes in our ER, you know.
Sure.
During the cold, flu and cold season, we're already going to see a lot of people with sniffles and whatnot.
Right.
Also, you asked a question before we went on the air about whether this would be potentially a use in somebody for post-exposure. Right now, all the talk is about giving the medication, which, by the way, is a 5-day course, and I think it's a couple of pills twice a day for 5 days. So it's not just one pill. The research has all been done in people who come down with COVID, have documented COVID, and then develop symptoms. The key there being that they develop symptoms. Now, there is also discussion about whether or not this would be beneficial in post-exposure for people who are at high risk. So especially, say, somebody who has immune deficiency or something. So that would be somebody who maybe goes to, you know, to Christmas dinner with the family, and then 3 days later is told, oh, Uncle Joe, who's just been diagnosed with COVID, maybe you should see your doctor. Well, that person then might be given this medication as a post-exposure, even though they don't have any evidence of infection at that time.
All right.
Now, that would be a very limited group of people. That's not going to be just for everybody.
Yeah. All right, Doctor. Well, thank you for the update on these pills. Like you say, you just don't take one pill and everything is fine. Anything else you want to speak about?
I just want to say also that as we go into the holiday season, I just ask that everybody sort of pause right now and just think about how fortunate we really are in America to live in this country, and here on the coast or in California in general. We have so much really to be thankful for. And I'm concerned personally about the strife that's around the world, not just with respect to COVID, but all the struggles that are leading us to become more and more divided as a country. And it's very sad. And really, I think our strength is being united and not divided. I would just ask that everybody sort of pause this holiday. Think about really how fortunate we truly are, and do we want to put all that in jeopardy?
Sure. Dr. Miller, thanks very much for being with us here today on the Mendocino Coast Health Report. Rogalski here from the coast.